Thank you for joining us for another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God with Corey Pritchard, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in your everyday life. I'm excited about continuing forward. So today I'm going to go more or less right into what we've been doing. And if you haven't been following along with us, and I encourage you to go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. The focus of what we're doing overall, just overall with Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God, is I want to be able to consistently paint a picture of what should be an expectation in God's kingdom. I think sometimes we believe some things are so fantasy, I guess, because we get used to watching television and looking at, you know, reading books, that things that are not real, that when we read the Bible and we think about Jesus Christ, and often we take it in the same tone, right? And the reality is this is not any fable. These are not any made up stories, nothing like that. Okay, these are real things, real historical records. These are things that actually happen, and God allowed them to be archived through men so that you can have them. So as far as super is natural in the kingdom of God, I absolutely truly know that super is supposed to be our standard in the kingdom of God. There's supposed to be things that happen in our life that should blow people's mind. But really, we shouldn't be all that excited about it, right? We should be obviously praising God for it, but it should be like a normal thing for us every single day. And I really believe the thing that really hinders that from happening more in our lives is our faith. Okay, so what I've been looking at doing during this space and these series of podcasts is to take the vantage point of Jesus Christ. And I believe, you know, if you're listening to this, and I'm not sure where you're coming from, the reality is either you have a hunger and desire for the kingdom of God or you don't. Either you have eyes to see, a heart to perceive, ears to hear, or you don't. I can't make that any different. It doesn't matter what I say or what I do. I can't change that. But if you do have those eyes, you know, those ears and that heart for the kingdom, then these things are so precious to you. OK, so this is a case where what I'm going to do beginning today. Now, we've already started in this, but I'm really going to start to pick this thing up, and I'm going to apologize here on the recording that I've been kind of holding back, right, and kind of figuring out what this thing is going to be through podcasts. And I want to make sure that I'm giving you what I have. OK, and I haven't truly been letting it all out. So I'm going to let it out more in these next few series, and really hoping to stay in that lane moving forward. So what we've been doing is we're looking at faith, specifically looking at faith through the lens, the perspective, right? Looking through it through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that it's all there, right? It's all in there. So what I suggested that we do is, if you haven't done it, go out, find a Bible concordance, and you can put this word faith in. OK, put faith into the Bible concordance, and gives you a list of all the words in the Bible that mention faith. Right. So we've been walking through that. And in this session, and I believe this message that I'm under as far as this one right here, it's going to be faith that drives and draws, or faith that draws and drive. OK, so that's going to be the title of this. And I'm going to do my best to get through it in three sessions. I would love to do it in two, but to be honest with you, it's going to be something that I would suggest that you take notes. If you're driving, I know that you're probably used to other podcast experiences, but this is one that you definitely are going to want to make sure that you go back and be able to take notes and be able to prove and reprove. I would say that these three, okay, maybe all of these moving forward, all the rest of those are wonderful, and you can listen to those. But if you haven't proved any of the information found in them, prove them. But with these, you're going to have to spend some time, right? You're going to want to own this information. It's not going to do in you what God is desiring for it to do if you don't sit down on the information. Listen to this recording, this one, listen to it 10 times, right? And you'll see that on the 10th time, you're going to get something that you didn't get on the 9th time, right? Or on the 8th time, you're going to get something that you didn't get on the first time. It's a reality that this thing is going to be spring loaded, and it's going to be a pack, and the Spirit of God is going to work in you to be able to reveal some things maybe that I didn't say, and I'm just very excited about it. So with that being said, again, We're going to put this under, again, the title, Faith That Draws and Drives, or Faith That Drives and Draws. And you'll see how this actually works out in these body of scripture. So I'm going to start by laying a foundation for us to be able to get what I believe we need to get out of these scriptures by going back to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. Now, I've mentioned some scriptures that are near this, right? I actually mentioned verse number 22, but we're really going to make sure that we get out of this what I believe that we should. So when we're dealing with anything, now I'm going to make sure I'm just very transparent and honest. You probably have been, I'm not going to say, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Here's the reality. You haven't received the kingdom of God. Okay. So it doesn't matter what religious identification that you have had up until this point, no matter what religion it might be, even Christianity, is that you probably have not heard the preached message of the kingdom of God. And that's a sad reality. Now, you may have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may have asked him to forgive your sins. But the reality is that we weren't given the opportunity to actually repent and convert in response to God's kingdom, right? The government, the governing of God's kingdom, desiring and wanting God to govern our lives with his high ways. Okay. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying to you is that when we're dealing with these things, your heart inside of it has all these fixed beliefs. These things that seem so real and they govern our lives. And as it concerns religious things specifically, now this is this way with every single part of our life, but as it concerns things that we think are concerning God or the Bible or a biblical text, right? Or a holy script or something like that, then we have these fixed ideas inside of our heart that often we can't really get around, and we refuse to allow anything that's outside of what I already believe or what we already believe to come in. Okay. Now, this is every single one of us, including me. So what I'm saying is that for all of us, what's going to happen here moving forward, it's going to be uncomfortable. I'm just telling you. Now, some of it may be exciting, but there are going to be moments of uncomfort and discomfort. Why? Because it is going to challenge the doctrines that you already have found to be sound that you believe. Now, here's the beauty of it. Some of it could be something I'm saying, but most of it is going to be what Jesus Christ actually established. So as we're going through this, what I'm asking for you to do is to be butt naked honest, right? Be transparent in these feelings, these emotions in this journey, and understand that these doctrines, right? These principles are the truth. They are, right? Now, just because your religious pastor or leader or priest or monk or whoever the person is didn't say it and didn't say it in this context doesn't mean that what Jesus Christ has said is not true. So what I'm asking for you to do is when you're looking at the words of Jesus Christ, is that you do the best that you can do to make sure the first thing that you seek is, what did Jesus Christ teach? Right? So discipleship is a vital thing, and we must decide to forsake it all. Okay. So if you want to look at some studies on discipleship, see what Jesus Christ established and what he said about the requirement of being a disciple of himself. Right now, you could be a disciple of anything, and most of us are. But the reality is, if you have made the commitment or are considering making the commitment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then the requirement is that you forsake it all or be willing to forsake it all. And that absolutely includes your doctrines, your old teachings, your old ideas, your old opinions, my old ways of thinking. It absolutely means that this is something that is in our heart. The location for this work is in your heart, is in my heart. And if I'm not willing to allow the work to happen in me, I'm going to miss out. God's not going to miss out, but I'm going to miss out, and I'm going to forfeit the ability in the things that God wants to have happen. Okay. So with that being said, let's look at Mark chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse number 22. Now we're going to go from 22 to 25. Now, if you're making notes, then there's going to be 10 different principles, okay? 10 different principles at least. And maybe I'm missing something. You can, you know, look at something and maybe I show, hey, Corey, I missed that one, right? But I'm saying that there are 10, right? And I'm going to say to you that for most people, they would not probably have seen maybe one or not seen them as principles at all, okay? So at least consider that there may be at least 10 principles that Jesus Christ is teaching in these verses that are absolutely vital for faith, okay? So Jesus in this situation, he has already spoken to the fig tree, right? This fig tree had leaves. It should have had fruit. It should have produced fruit so that it could meet his need, right? He was hungry. It didn't. He spoke to it and said that it would not provide fruit for anyone ever again. And immediately, okay, its purpose was canceled for life and it dried up from the roots, okay? And in response to that, the disciples saw this fig tree, right? They walked past the first time, seen it was live and looking good, came back through, seen that it dried up from the root, and they were astonished. And in response to that, they turned to Jesus Christ and they say this to him. Okay. Now, Jesus is a teacher, right? He's our rabbi in the kingdom of God, the only rabbi that we have. So he takes every opportunity to be able to teach, okay, the principles of the kingdom of God, teaching the will of God, the doctrines of God in every opportunity that he has. So he is given. So he takes or makes this opportunity to teach his disciples how this occurred. Now, he could have kept it to himself and no man would know. He could have held it secret and no man would know. But because he's a teacher, he wants his students to be able to rise to the level that he's at, right? He don't want them to stay low. He wants them to come high, not in their perception of themselves and pride, but in knowledge and awareness and wisdom and an application. Jesus Christ is expecting that they come up. Does that make sense? So here's what Jesus Christ said about how he did what he did, right? How he did it. And he tells us that faith did it. He's showing us that he put faith to work, but he not only tells us that he put faith to work, but he shows us how he puts faith to work, okay? So looking at Mark chapter 11, verse 22, then the principles, and I'll give you the principles first, okay? So I'm going to actually give you 1 through 10, and then I'm going to walk through these so you can see that I'm not making anything up. So if you're writing, principle number 1 is have faith in God. Don't miss that. There's a reason why Jesus Christ puts these things in the order that he does, and he says have faith in God, which is the first and most primary thing, okay? Number 2, if you're writing, is this God's will for me now? Now, here's what I want you to be able to understand about the question that I'm asking is don't forget that you are in a kingdom. OK, so in any kingdom, if a citizen or a person from a foreign land, anyone was coming into the jurisdiction or territory, right, of the king's dominion, and they were coming into his presence in the audience, seeking the audience of the king, that person would know before they even entered into the presence of the king that there's no way that they're going to petition or ask for anything that's outside of the king's will. That person says, there's no way I'm going to be found in the presence of the king asking him for something that I know is outside of his will. Why? Because they could lose their life. Do you understand? This is a death sentence for the individual if they're coming in the presence of the king and they are asking, petitioning for something outside of God's will. Now, God has great mercy for us so he doesn't kill us, right? But that doesn't mean that we should ask for things that are clearly outside of God's will. And maybe it is something that you believe in God's will, but is it in God's will for me now? Right? Is it in God's will for me now? So I want to make sure I understand if that's the case. Number 3 is develop or have faith in your own faith. And this is a principle, again, for me is brand new, but it's right here. And it's all throughout the teaching of Jesus Christ. Again, develop / have faith in your own faith and its ability. Okay. Number 4 is believe that what you will say will come to pass. Now, this is crazy, okay? Because in our lives, often we don't understand that we've had contrary things, bad things, stuff that we don't want, because we actually believe that they would happen and they did come to pass, right? Sometimes we want something and believe they come to pass and it will, but Jesus Christ is saying, why don't we put this thing into practice and actually make it work for the glory of God, right? Does that make sense? So principle number four is, again, believe what you say will come to pass. Number five is address and attack any and all doubt concerning what you believe in your heart. And I'm gonna get more into it as we go there. But again, it is, if you're writing down, address and attack any and all doubt concerning what you believe in your heart. Okay. Number six is speak to it, right? Speak it, tell it what to do, right? Tell it where to go. So again, number six is speak to it. Tell it what to do. Tell it where to go. Okay. Number seven is be clear about the desire of and in your heart. Okay. And again, I'm saying be clear about the desire of and in your heart. Be very clear. Okay. Number eight is bring it before God. Ask without wavering. Okay, that's number eight. Bring it before God. Ask without wavering. Number nine is believe that you have received them and that you will have them. Okay, and in parentheses, I put manifestation if you want to put that there. Okay, so believe that you have received them. And believe that you have them. Believe that you have received them and that you will have them. Okay. Believe that that's the principle. Number 10 is the most important, I would say, after number one. So I could almost say one and then 10, because it is so vital. Number 10 is forgive. Okay. Number 10 is forgive. So again, looking at this, then you wouldn't figure that Jesus had this much packed in these few verses, but it's like that with the entire ministry of Jesus Christ. If we will seek to learn what it is that Jesus Christ taught, then we would find a far better benefit in our lives. So I know that you have a temptation to want life application, right? So what we make as a mistake is that we will take life and what we think life is with all of its facts, and then we attempt to interpret God's word and the words of Jesus Christ through our life and through our experience. How tragic is that, right? But what we want to do is observe the truth, and we want to interpret life and make it pass and filter through the truth, okay? So when I'm looking at Jesus, I don't have to question if it's the truth, right? I don't have to question if it's the will of God. I don't have to question if it's the doctrine of God. I don't have to question anything that Jesus Christ establishes. It's up to me to decide, do I want to learn it? Do I want to know it? And will I willfully bring myself under the governance of it, right? Because this represents the government of God, right? This is a kingdom. So when you look at principles like these are governing principles that you and I must decide if we are going to be governed by. Does that make sense? So when we're looking at this, then we got to make sure we get it that how Jesus gave it. So again, going back to verse number 22, Jesus answering said unto them, because he's responding to the question from the disciples, he says, have faith in God, right? That's the first one, number one, okay? And then he goes into these things, again, teaching this class. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to pull yourself up and decide to sit in the front row, lean in and take notes for the rabbi that's teaching. OK, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So in my notes I have for verse number 23, I have principles 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, if you're taking notes, I actually have 6. Okay, so for verse number 22, I have principle number 1, which is have faith in God. And then for verse number 23, I'm finding that there's 5 principles, right? Principle 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay, so when we're looking at these realities, then it's up to us to decide, do I believe what Jesus Christ is teaching? And will I believe it to the degree that I will begin to apply it in my everyday life? Now, this is not just concerning so-called spiritual things. So I'm here to try to help you get detoxed from religion if you allow it, right? And again, for me, I said this, I'm not trying to kill your religion, right? That's not my responsibility. My religion is dying or is dead, right? It's dying more and more each day. My responsibility is not to kill yours. My responsibility is to expose it in you and for you to decide if you will continue to feed it or not. Does that make sense? Because the religion in you is so strong because you continue to feed it, right? The religion in you is so strong because you have faith in it, right? The religion in me is dying or is dead because I have no faith or little faith in religion, right? Does that make sense? Because I'm getting what it is I most desire from God outside of religion. So I don't have the desire that I used to have from religion again. So I'm not trying to kill your faith. I'm not trying to kill your faith in religion. I want to expose it to be able to show you what it really is. So when you're looking at these realities, then you should say for yourself, I want Jesus. If you're a sheep of Jesus Christ, if you hear his voice, then you should say, I want the king. I don't want that man's doctrine, right? I don't want their opinion. I don't want their stuff. I want my king's teaching, right? I want him to give me what he gave me. I want to get what he provided. Does that make sense? Okay, so when we look at this, number 2 is this God's will for me now? Now, I said that, but I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying to you. Now, at this stage in my life, I'm looking at me coming into the throne room of God, right? I am a king, lowercase K-I-N-G, right? I serve the capital K-I-N-G, who's under the capital K-I-N-G, right? All caps, right? That's the way I look at it, right? So God the Father is king of all. Jesus Christ is king under him, but he's asking me to operate and function as king under them. That's my role. Now, I can act like any way I want to act and be any other kind of way. But when I come into the kingdom of God, then I am rebirthed from royalty into king. So it makes me royalty. Right. So whether I choose to accept that and act like it or not, doesn't change, does not change that reality. Does that make sense? So when I'm dealing with that, I'm a king coming in the presence of a king. OK, so the first thing I want to be able to do is really check my motives. Right. Check my motives. Why am I about to ask God for whatever I'm asking him for? Is my motive right? Right? Do I want the doxa and glory of God? Do I want this thing to work out for the benefit of God's children? Do I want the kingdom of God to be able to get the victory, right? And to get the glory out of this? Why am I doing it? So I want to make sure I check my motives. I also want to make sure that what it is that I'm desiring or thinking about or have feelings for, is it in God's will at all? Many of the things that we desire and ask for, they ain't in God's will in the first place. They ain't, right? They're just not. That's me, as you, as anybody. And it may not be a case where it's not completely, but maybe a timing wise, it's out of timing. So we want to make sure that we're considering these things before we bring ourselves into the throne room of God, right? Is my motivation right? Is the thing right? Is the timing right? Right. And how do you determine those things? It's determined by the word of God, right? Getting into the word of God and really beginning to know God. God reveals himself in his word, and you'd be surprised what you'll find out about what God has revealed that he likes in his word. And you'll also be surprised about what he has revealed that he doesn't like in his word. So we should really have no excuse to be able to have these misguided petitions, but we do. Okay, so looking at this again, I'm saying, ask yourself, okay, determine if this is God's will for me, right, at all, or is it God's will for me now? Make sure we do that. Number 3 is develop or have faith in your own faith and its ability. Now, I would never before today have the audacity to put this principle in a recording and put it out. Why? Because it violates every religious idea that I had in the past. There's no way that I would say that I'm supposed to develop faith in my own faith. What? That sounds so audacious. But when you look at what Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples and what he's showing and demonstrating throughout his entire ministry, what you see is Jesus celebrating an individual's faith, right? What Jesus, it seems like he's building or attempting to build is the individual's faith in their own faith. He is celebrating people who have faith in their own faith. Does that make sense? Not detached, not separated from God, right? But because they believe God so much, because they have faith in God first, then this individual is able to conjure up. I hate to use the word conjure, but have this desire manufacture and work up on the inside of them to the point where hope paints a picture, okay? Hope is designed to paint pictures in you of things that you don't currently have. That's what it's designed to do in us, okay, in God's kingdom. So because you have so great faith in God, right, because of that, now hope begins to paint a clear picture on the inside of us that we wouldn't be able to see outside of the help of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? This goes far past imagination. Imagination has its place. It has its purpose and it has its use in our lives. But as it concerns the things of God, imagination is too low, so it can't paint an accurate and clear enough picture of God's will, of God's word, so that I can see it, right? And that's what's required when I'm dealing with faith. In order to truly, authentically be able to believe something, then I must be able to see it in hope. Does that make sense? I must be able to see it. And it's no different than imagination. People have low things that they imagine. They see them on the inside of themselves. Imagination paints the picture. And because they believe that picture so much, now it changes their actions. Because they believe that image so much, now it changes their behavior. Does that make sense? So every great invention starts with imagination. Every great solution starts with imagination. Every great thing that's written that is not something that people can see, but they must use their imagination to see. All those things came from imagination. And it's because the person saw it clearly on the inside of themselves that they began to believe it. And because they began to believe it, it actually drove their behavior, right? So true belief always has a corresponding action, right? Don't tell me you believe something and your action don't align with it, don't make sense. You don't believe it. You're in hope. You're not in belief at best, right? And really, to be honest, we're lying a lot of times to ourselves and other people about things that we say that we believe because we really don't. Why? Because if we did, then it would have a corresponding reaction. Does that make sense? So when I'm looking at this, I want to make sure that we're getting it, okay? Get it, okay? So what we're going to do is pause in this one. You can go in, actually read this stuff on yourself and try to get ahead for the next session if you choose to. But again, I'm saying I see 10 principles, okay? So we're going to pause right here with principle number 3. Again, develop/have faith in your own faith and its ability. So you got homework, okay? Begin to ask God. Get in the face of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want to repent for my own misbeliefs, my own bad ideas and understanding, wrong doctrines concerning your word and you and your expectation. Father, I'm doing this in the response to the reality of your God, of your kingdom. In response to your kingdom being here now, Father, I repent in my heart of these ideas and these things, and I'm asking to turn. And Father, I want to convert. I want to be immersed in the kingdom of God, and I want to immerse it. I want to put myself under the government and governing of your kingdom, right? So be willing to do that and ask God to show you how to begin to have more faith in your faith. Okay, so thank you. This has been another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God. I look forward to seeing you on another Super is Natural. Have a great day.